How many of you believe that with all your heart? The only thing we need to worry about is what God can't fix. So it probably eliminates your worries. Worry about what He can't fix, and you'll be doing good. How many of you glad you love the Lord with all your heart tonight? Isn't it good to be in the house of God? Turn around and shake somebody's hand and tell them you're glad to see Him in church on Saturday night. What a privilege it is. Play some more of it, brethren, if you will. Pick it up just a little. Say praise the Lord. What a privilege it is for us to be back in God's house again tonight. Let's look at our prayer request tonight, if you will. I want to remember Gwen Farmer sends this in to please pray for my daughter-in-law, Sonia Farmer. She's been sick for 5 months. The doctor has ruled out that it is not a tick bite. She has a fever every day. Her joints hurt so bad. We know that we can go to our specialist, the Lord Jesus Christ, to heal her body. Please pray that God will show the doctor what is wrong and heal her body. So they're asking that we would remember that prayer request tonight. We'll remember Brother and Sister Baker in prayer, not feeling well tonight. Very special and spoken prayer request that the Lord knows all about. We'll just commit that to the Lord tonight. Brother Junior and Sister Judy Davis says about 2 years ago, our niece went through breast cancer surgery with chemo and radiation. 2 weeks ago, they found a mass in her hip socket. They have done a biopsy and will get the report in a few days. Please pray with us that they will find nothing. She's only 39 years old. So we want to pray for that need tonight. We're just committed unto the Lord. Brother Dowell Orndorff not feeling well tonight. We want to remember him in prayer. Please remember our grandson, Brooks Sink. He has a high fever, not feeling well. So we'll remember that need tonight. This is from Sister Margaret Wilkinson. Please pray for my seven-month-old great-great-grandson. He's in the Children's Hospital in San Diego with multiple aneurysms. His name is Paxton Peterson. His father is a minister in a denominational church. They believe in divine healing. We're just believing God to touch this child. So let's join our prayers with them tonight. Then we have some wonderful news. This is an email that was sent, I guess, to the library, to Brother Jim Babb. We want to give thanks unto God. Brother Youssef has been acquitted and has been set free. So praise the Lord for that. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, somebody say praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. There's some more information in regard to that. But the main thing that we want to report to you that he has been acquitted. He is home with his family, his wife and his children. And, well, I can just imagine the joy and the jubilation. I can't understand what he would be feeling right now, what they would be feeling, but I'm sure it's wonderful. So we praise the Lord for that, don't we? God is so good to his church. Don't you love him with all your heart tonight? Isn't he wonderful? Isn't he wonderful? So we just praise God for all of his goodness. If you have an unspoken prayer request tonight, something you'd like for this assembly to pray about, we just want to commit all these things unto the Lord. We know our God is able to meet every need among us. I'm going to ask Brother Calvin Ward. Brother Calvin, would you come tonight if you would? Brother Calvin, if you'd come and pray over these prayer requests tonight. Don't mean to put you on the spot, but this is a precious guy right here. We just thank the world of Brother Calvin Ward. This guy soon be celebrating his 86th birthday, but he's as faithful as night is that long. I appreciate him. We love you, buddy. God bless you. Pray for us tonight, if you will.
Our gracious, precious Heavenly Father, Lord God, we thank you for this opportunity to come to you tonight, Lord, to be back in your house again, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord God, for this opportunity to worship you, Lord God, and to hear your precious word, O God, that Brother Donnie brings us. And Lord, we ask you, dear God, to bless these requests that I hold in my hand, Lord. You know each and every one of them, O God, and you know their needs, Lord Jesus. And Father, we just pray, Heavenly Father, that you would move for them and grant them, Lord, in your precious name. Lord, I pray, dear God, that you'd bless every person here tonight, Lord, and Heavenly Father, those that has needs, Lord God, and those that have needs of special hearing of your word, I pray, dear God, that you would just bless them and let it be, O God, and help us, we pray. Father, we thank you, dear gracious Lord, for your grace, your mercy, and your love. Go with us and keep us, dear Lord, we pray, in the precious name of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen.
Ushers, if you'll come at this time, we'll receive the evening offering. If you're visiting tonight with us in this service, we certainly want to welcome all of you here. Glad to have you. Those that are streaming the service tonight, may God Richie, bless those folks as well. Brother Michael Bailey put a note here on the for us to read for you tonight. Anyone that would like to help with the Fall Festival, please sign up on the sign-up list over in the library. So please remember that. If you'd like to help with the Fall Festival, please. When exactly is that? I know it's probably been on the screen, but when is it? The 21st? Well, that's not far away. Well, that's a week from Friday, I guess, maybe. So if you can help, I'm sure they would definitely appreciate that. Now, I told you last week and Wednesday night, too, that we was going to have some new songs. And we come up here and worked and worked and worked and worked, and we've got them down. But from Thursday night till now, they have disappeared. They're in the computer somewhere, but I don't know where they're at. That's the funniest little thing. Them computers are funny. So we'll try to find it. Somebody will. I don't know where you look for it at. Don't point. I don't know what you're pointing at. I can't do a thing about what you're pointing to. But we're so glad to be in the house of the Lord tonight, aren't we? Amen. Somebody say praise the Lord. Somebody say thank you, Jesus. Give Him another big hand clap of praise if you love Him. Well, I see that you did find one. You did find one of those songs. What does this mean right here? Okay, let's see if we can do that. I'm rich. Not really. Not that way. But we're all rich, aren't we? Not in this world's goods, but we are rich. This is an old Charles Johnson song. Let's see if we can sing it tonight. If we mess up, hey, we'll do it all together and we'll fix it all together, okay? Play some of it, brother. Let's get it going. See if we can do it.
Thank you. a millionaire.
Oh, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Well, we are rich. Thank God for His grace and His mercy to us. How many of you love the Lord better than everything in this world? Guys, you're not going to be able to find that song, are you? Are you not? Which one? Didn't I walk on the water? Did you find it, Brother Eric? All right, let's see if we can. This is another song. It's not actually a new song, but it's new to us. And I heard it. We just kind of liked it, didn't we? And these guys worked and worked and worked. And I want to say that let me say two things tonight for you real quickly. I appreciate the work that all these guys put in, because they could have been somewhere else doing something else. But I appreciate them being here, showing up, being faithful. I appreciate that. And let me say something to the sisters here at the church. I'll get in trouble if I start mentioning names, so I'm not going to mention but one name. But you know who you are if you are a helper. Sister Joy Shantis, that has been putting together meals for families during the loss of a loved one, and the work and all that goes on. She's got a cast of folks that have helped her and that helps her very faithfully. We just want to say as a body, we appreciate that. Amen. Sister Joy, we appreciate that. God bless you. And I know that Sister Joy couldn't do it by herself. She's got a cast of volunteers that help her. And I don't know who all of you are, but may God richly bless you for your efforts. Now let's see if we can sing this song, Didn't I Walk on the Water? I hope you'll like it, and we'll try to learn it together. Let's see if we can do that tonight.
Everything's gonna be alright. Lord, I see another battle out in front of me, and I'm afraid I won't be able, and I'll go down in defeat. But He said I walked on the water, and I calmed the raging sea. I spoke to the wind, it hushed and I gave you peace. Didn't I run to your rescue? Didn't I hear you when you called? I walked right beside you just so you wouldn't fall. Didn't I leave all of heaven just to die for your sin? I searched until I found you, and I'd do it all again. He said, do you remember just where I brought you from? Just take a look around you at how far you have come. Every time you ask me, didn't I deliver you? So why would you be thinking that I wouldn't see you through?
Now she's talking to her father in a house that was once a home. She said, my bills are coming due, Lord, and 6 days is not that long. She hears a voice so still and low, says, I've moved like that before.
Yes, Lord.
I'll do this little thing for you, and I'll give you so much more.
And he said, yeah.
Some more words, the rest of the chorus. Give me the rest of the chorus. That ain't all of it. All right, here we go. Here we go. He said, do you remember just where I brought you from? Just take a look behind you and see how you have come. Every time you ask me, didn't I deliver you? So why would you be thinking that I wouldn't see you through? And he said, I walked on the water and I calmed the raging sea. I spoke to the wind, it hushed and it gave me. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. Well, we do know that he did walk on the water. And he's able to take care of all of our needs. We believe that with all of our heart. You can be seated tonight. God bless you. We're going to have a chorus just before our pastor comes out to bring us the word of the Lord. I didn't mention it. I didn't have anything written down on it, but I should have remembered it anyway. Certainly want to be mindful of the McKinney family, Yvonne, David, and Brian, and all the grandchildren, and that family in particular, that the Lord would just be mindful of them tonight. And I believe he'll do that. Let's just do a little chorus. We'll turn the service over to our pastor. Brother David, I want you to come and do me a favor tonight. I know you say, I can't do it, but you're a Jesus man. Come on and sing that for us, buddy. Yeah. How many of you appreciate this guy right here? I love you, buddy. God bless you. Sing it. Just sing it.
I'm not going to sing Jesus, ma'am. I'm going to sing this. God has sent the bride revival. Well, God has sent the bride's revival one more time like he did in the Bible. The Spirit of the Lord sweeping across this land. Well, go ahead, Satan, and surrender. There's nothing going to hinder. The coming of the Lord is at hand. Well, God has sent the bride's revival one more time like he did in the Bible. The Spirit of the Lord sweeping across this land. Go ahead, Satan, and surrender. There's nothing going to hinder. The coming of the Lord is at hand. This is the way the Spirit said it. This is the way that I read it. Word is here and it's moving for the bride. It won't be just mechanics, it'll be mixed with dynamics. The revival, yes, it's here for the bride. Well, God has sent the bride's revival one more time like he did in the Bible. Spirit of the Lord is sweeping across his land. Go ahead, Satan, and surrender. Nothing gonna hinder. The coming of the Lord is at hand. The bride's holding steady for her faith. It's gonna be ready. He thought of her before the world began. There's gonna be a grand translation. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, the revival, yes, it's here for the bride.
has sent. Bright's revival one more time like he did in the Bible. Here the Lord is sweeping across his land. Go ahead, Satan, and surrender. There's nothing going to hinder. The coming of the Lord is at hand. When the prophet told the story, he's going to send up the glory. The power of the Lord is moving for the bride. It won't be just mechanics. It'll be mixed with dynamics. The revival, yes, it's here. Glory to God. Hallelujah. God has sent the bride's revival. One time like he did the Bible. Spirit of the Lord sweeping across his land. Go ahead, Satan, and surrender. There's nothing going to hinder. The coming of the Lord is at hand.
Praise the Lord. Brother David would be a good brother if he wasn't so Pentecostal. He hangs around us Baptists, we'll get it out of him. Amen. We appreciate our brother. Certainly appreciate him. Let's turn tonight, if you would, to St. John chapter 6. And I'd like to read to you tonight why we are Pentecostal. By birth, that is. St. John 6, verse 53. Then Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, except you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. So let me just ask you a question now. If you would have been in the congregation that day when Jesus said this, would you have got up and walked out? There was no Old Testament quotes to back it up. There was not even yet much understanding to even understand it from the New Testament. So what would you have done? I'll tell you what you'd do. Okay? Whatever spirit's in you now is the way you'd done then. Exactly the same. It's going on around the message today. It's been in every age. Now, notice this. Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life. And I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is meat indeed. You imagine these people think, this man is nuts. What is he talking about? Because he was already so different anyway. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. And as the living Father hath sent me, and I live by the Father, so he that eateth me. It wasn't enough to say it one time. He just keeps saying it over and over. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. As the living Father hath sent me, and I live by the Father, so he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. This is that bread which came down from heaven. Not as your fathers did eat manna. Uh-oh. That's bad enough what he's saying about himself. Now he's going to go to picking on her families. You know how folks are when it comes about mom and daddy and grandpa and Uncle Chloe and everybody else. They get all bent out of shape. This is that bread which come down from heaven, not as your fathers did eat manna and are dead. He that eateth of this bread shall live forever. These things said he in the synagogue as he taught in Capernaum. Let's bow our heads together. Lord Jesus, thank you tonight, Father, for your precious words. I pray tonight, Lord God, as we look into it, that you once again will take it and make it alive to our hearts tonight, Lord. May it not just be Logos, but make it Rhema. Speak to us, I pray, Father, as only you can do. In Jesus' name. God bless you. You may be seated. I'd like to speak to you tonight on Rhema's, our spirit and life. Rhema's, our spirit and life. Let's continue on in this same setting in verse 60. Now, you've read with me in what he said about eating his flesh and drinking his blood. Now watch what the congregation does. Many, therefore, of his disciples, when they heard this, said, "This is a hard saying. Who can hear it?" Now look at this word hard. Harsh, rough, stiff, metaphorically harsh, stern, hard, violent, rough, offensive, intolerable. Well, glory. Now why I understand why folks get mad when I preach. Now notice who this is saying this. This is not the Pharisees, scribes, Sadducees, but actually his own disciples. Many, not one or two that was complaining, but many, therefore, of his disciples, when they heard it, said, "This is a hard saying. Who can hear it?" Look at this word here. To attend to, consider what is or has been said, to understand, perceive the sense of what is said, to comprehend, to understand. Now watch, they're not just questioning the words. They're questioning who has the ability to comprehend what this man is saying. Now this shows us that they knew that there had to be an allegory of something. They was not actually, most of them was not actually looking and saying, "What's he going to do? Going to cut his arm off? He wants us to eat it? Does he actually want us to just drink his whole blood like it was out of a cup or something? What's he want?" They knew there was an allegorical meaning. But they said, the thing of it is, who can comprehend this? Who can be able, who is going to be enlightened? They'd already heard him preaching parables and symbols. And they knew that much of his talking was that way. That he would say things in a way. A parable is a earthly story with a heavenly meaning. So he did much of his speaking this way. So they said, who can perceive what this man is even talking about? Now notice in verse 61. When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured. Look at this word. To murmur, mutter, grumble, say anything against in a low tone, confer secretly together of those who discontentedly complain. Happy Valley's got some of these same kind of folks. No matter where you go to church, you'll find them. Every family's got them. Every government's got them. Every church, everywhere you go, there's this kind of people. And if a preacher don't learn how to control them, they'll destroy him. Because you'll find them in every church you go. Many pastors have been destroyed, not by adultery, not by money, not by women, but by people like this in their congregation. And I don't care how good you are, how great a preacher you are, you'll have it because Satan knows this is one of the greatest tools that he can use against preachers. Now when I find them, whether in my church or when I go out somewhere else, and they'll sit there with that attitude and they put off that atmosphere, and I'll preach for a little bit and I'll find them because there's always folks that come to hear me that don't like me. Why, I don't know. Don't even make no sense why they'd even come. But whenever you find them and you see the pulsation out of their spirit, preacher brothers will know what I'm talking about, and you find where they are, you just isolate them and you pretty much don't even look at them. You don't even look in their direction. They can be right there in front of you, 15 feet away from you, but you just don't notice them. But what you do is hone in on those that are pulling. Because if you don't, that one or two, whatever it is in the service, they'll pull you over in a certain direction and you go to fire and stuff at them. You'll fight them in the flesh, and that ain't what God wants. So it is a battle that is going on. Now you're sitting there and you're saying, my, it's a battle, it's a battle. I agree. It is a battle for you, but it's also a battle for preachers up here. Because there'll always be some there, nearly every service, no matter where you go all around the world, they will be there. Some pooch their lips out. Some got this wrinkle in their brow. You know, some have got, all of them have their way of expressing their murmuring, their complaining. Some will sit there and whisper to their wife or whisper back and forth to the husband, whatever. They've all got their way and they don't realize they're being an instrument of the devil. And the Holy Ghost is writing it down in heaven that they were there to disrupt that service. Now, wouldn't you hate for that to be on your record in heaven, that Almighty God was writing this down and you're not even spiritual enough to know it? And when you get there at the day of judgment, you'll answer for doing that? So you know what? It didn't slow Jesus down, but now, thank God, I don't know the way Jesus knew, but Jesus knew this within himself. I know it by hearing it afterwards or seeing it in the service, but yet Jesus knew was in himself. Now notice Jesus. Jesus was the protocol of pulpit manners in the New Testament. Now I do not get my mannerisms from Bob Jones. I do not get my mannerism from some great theological seminary somewhere, but Jesus and the apostles are my example. They are my mentors. So if you don't like my pulpit manners, maybe you should complain to my mentors. Because most of you know, of course, that I graduated from Bob Jones and all the rest of Jones boys and all the rest of degrees. And I got all kinds of degrees and bachelor's and whatever more. You know, I've got the one PST. Y'all know what that one is, don't you? Pine sapling thicket. I've got the BA, born again. I've got the HGF, Holy Ghost Field. Glory. I've got the PFE, Predestinated Before the Foundation of the World. I've got all them degrees. I'm proud of every one of them. Now what? So Jesus, knowing himself that his disciples murmured at it, and he said unto them, oh, I'm so sorry. I should have never raised my voice in that tone, and I should have known that y'all were so hurt, and I should have. No, that's some of these spineless preachers we got today. Jesus said, doth this offend you? Now look at the word offend. To put a stumbling block or impediment in the way upon which another may trip and fall. Does this stumble you? Does this, have I just laid an impediment in front of you? Now you see, when you go to preaching this way, you realize right off, folks have not read the Bible very good because they're looking at you like you're from Mars. That's right. Now notice this, an impediment in the way of, upon which another may trip and fall, to cause a person to begin to distrust or desert one whom he ought to trust and obey. Now, so Jesus says, does this offend you? Did the way I said this? Now, could Jesus have chosen another way to have said this where it would not have been so offensive? He truly could have. He could have, you know, explained it all and said, now one day I'm going to die. I'm going to give my life, and in my blood is the life which is Zoe, and you'll be able to be baptized into my mystical body, and you'll drink of that, and you'll take communion, also take of the breaking of the word. And when you take all this, oh, okay, no problem, no problem. But then they would have grasped it by an explanation of logos. But you know what? It was a time for some of the leeches to get away from his ministry. It was time for some of these type of people to fall off. Now we know there are things that are said, it always has been, it always will be, that God will allow things to be said that will cause people to stumble. But remember, God will never have a man of God to say an error. People try to take these things and say, well, Brother Bram said the white horse rider here, and he said it was the devil there, and said the Holy Ghost here, and both of them is right. You're a nut. You're totally out of your mind. Brother Branham was saying it from the best that he knew at the time, and when the word opened further, he had to come back and say, you know what? I was preaching from the notes that I knew years ago. And come on now. When Jesus said this, he was not saying something that was not true. He was not saying something that would later be illuminated and make this out of date. But it was the way he said it. It was the way he said it. Come on there, church. Brother Bram said that the Holy Ghost was the third person of the Trinity. He also said Jesus was the second person of the Trinity. Then later he said it was heathen to believe that. Which I was a heathen. Some of y'all were too. Oh, he said that to some of people. No, he said that because he believed it at the time. Right. Now, whenever things are being said to stumble people, it is not that it will be wrong here, and 20 years later, you know, you're going to see on it, and you're going to have more light. That's absolutely wrong. That is progression, what you're talking about. But it will be said in such a way, it cannot be said wrong. God cannot say that there's three gods here, and come over here and say, to believe three gods is to be a heathen, and both of them be right. It's absolutely, totally impossible. Come on now, church, don't get quiet on it. Brother Bam used to believe, and he also preached, that actually Mary released out of her body an egg, and the Holy Ghost overshadowed that egg and produced the virgin birth. How many knows that's the truth? But years later, he said it could not have been that way. Well, that was said to stumble people. No, it was said out of the very best that he knew at the time. Let's make him a man now. Come on. Now you realize that for folks in the message that do that, they really haven't even grasped really what the message is all about. But to them, it's to idolize Brother Branham. This message is not to idolize Brother Branham. It's to bring me and you closer to Jesus Christ. It's that we might be better Christians. We might walk a more consecrated walk. I've never prayed to Brother Branham. I've never worshiped Brother Branham. And I have no intention on starting doing it now. I worship the Lord Jesus. I baptize in His name. I cast out devils in His name. I'm going to get married in His name. Amen. I'm going to be raptured out of here in His name. Not the name of a prophet. Not the name of a pastor. So Jesus knew in Himself that His disciples murmured this and said unto them, "Doth this offend you?" To cause a person to begin to distrust or desert one whom he ought to trust and obey. I tell you, friends, those of you that are thinking of leaving the message and you don't trust this and you don't trust that, might ought to reconsider. You might ought to consider where the source of your confusion is coming from. Show me any God called preacher that is called to handle the word and rightly divide the word. That'll ever lead you away from this ministry. I'll show you a false preacher or a false prophet that'll do that. You'll never show me one man of God that'll do such. But I'll show you all kinds of confused people that's trying to make a this and that and the other. Put out letters, put up websites. They're not called to handle the word in the first place. Folks get in over themselves. Brother Ben told us, but people won't listen. He told the laity, you can go absolutely out of your mind trying to study the word. God never called you to study the word like a preacher is. You're called to live this word, obey this word, believe this word, walk this word. Now notice, Jesus is speaking to most of those hearers, logos. Logos can be very offensive. Logos can actually cause people who hear it to stumble. But rhema can be an eye-opener. And that's why when people go to church and they sit there and they never move. Either they haven't been born again into that avenue to be able to hear the remas of God, or they're sitting with an attitude or a spirit on them or whatever, and all they hear is logos, 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 logos. And to them it's, I can't handle this no more. And you know what? They're looking at the message as a yoke that is too grievous to be borne. That's why many of the women want to go back and cut their hair and wear pants, and the men want to wear shorts and, you know, live like the devil and go here and there and the other. You know why? It's really been a burden on them that they've not enjoyed bearing. Because they've been walking a logos life. You cannot live this word with real pleasure and love without it being rhema. Logos is offensive. Logos, it'll make you mad. But a rhema from God will quicken you by the power of the Holy Ghost and help you to see what you're struggling with. So Jesus, being the king of mannerism and divine order and protocol of how preachers should preach in the pulpit. In verse 62, Jesus says, what an if you shall see the Son of Man ascend where he was before. So instead of Jesus backing off, I'm so sorry, Brother Jim. Did I hurt your feelings, buddy? Oh, I'm so sorry. I meant to wear you out. I'm sorry I just hurt your feelings. Now what's he doing? Shaking them off. It's time for him to be shook off. Glory. Notice now verse 63. It is the Spirit that quickeneth. Now notice, not the Logos. The Logos does not quicken. It cannot. It must be quickened itself. Now the letter killeth, but the Spirit maketh alive. It is not the letter of the Word that makes alive. Memorizing scriptures, memorizing quotes, quoting the prophet said this, the prophet said that, Paul said that, Moses said that. We love all that, do we not? But it takes more than that, friends, to give us a life to overcome in this hour. The devil can outquote every one of us. He can outpreach every preacher that he is in the message. But Satan does not have access to Rhema. He never has and he never will have. Now notice Jesus says it is the Spirit that quickeneth. Now remember what we looked at here Wednesday night. And for those of you that was at the funeral service last night. The first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The second man, Adam, was made a quickening spirit. Now, here God brings the quickener in a body of flesh by which once the flesh is tore open, this life will be spilled across the rest of the Logos seeds. By that, it will quicken them to eternal life by the breath of God. Now, what's Jesus giving his complete mission right here? Glory. It is the Spirit that quickeneth. Look at this word. Give life, make alive, to produce alive, beget or bear living on. This is the same word that we looked at Wednesday night. Whenever Paul said that he was a quickening spirit. Now remember, Paul says Jesus was a quickening spirit. If he would have been born first, Adam could have never fallen. But the first Adam, the weaker Adam, was born first. Then the stronger Adam was born last. You see, God had a program in his mind. If my soul would have been born first, there would have been no problem with my flesh all the days of my life. Had Jacob been born first, there'd been no problem between him and Esau. Glory. Had this earth been born in her eighth day image, she could have never fallen. But the earth was created in her first day image, not her eighth day image. Because eighth day is eternity. And God created this earth in a way where she could be moved off of her axis. But in the eternal day, she will be put on a cycle and she can never be moved off her axis. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Can you comprehend every planet that God made is still under his dominion except the earth? And the earth was made so she could fall. She was placed in the universe in her position. She was made so she could have the polar caps. She was made so she could actually fall and tilt and still stay in orbit. Amen. Don't tell me my father don't know what he's doing. So it is the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words, Remus, not Logos. The Remus that I speak unto you, they are Spirit and they are life. Now they'd studied the Logos, but it didn't give them life. Studying the Logos without quickening power turn them into blasphemers. Now remember, they were not studying Greek law. They were not studying the creeds of some of these other heathens that was around them. They were saying the prophet said, the prophet said, the prophet said, the prophet said, the prophet said. But they did not have life and they refused to take life. Oh my. Notice this. I love this in the Church Age book. I know you're familiar with it. It's page 30. If revelation is beyond you, look up and seek God for it. Amen. How many loves revelation? Now, I ain't talking about a bunch of this nonsense that's called revelation. True revelation always come back to the Word of God. If revelation is beyond you, this is the way we get it. Look up and seek God for it. This is the only way you're ever going to get it. You're not going to get it just by listening to tapes. You're not going to get it by coming to church. You're not going to get it by praying alone. And say, well, I'll tell you one thing. I'm going to stay at the house. I don't believe the Word of God tells us to not forsake the assembling of ourselves together so much more as the day is approaching. And yet all of those elements is what includes the real elect of God, to where they have an avenue into the realm of God. The rest of the world knows nothing of. This message did not come to bring us a new version of the Bible, a Branham translation or a Branham version. We don't need a new version. We don't need a new translation. We need Rhema. Revelation quickened to our hearts. The only way you're ever going to get it. A revelation has to come from God. It never comes by human natural endowment, but by spiritual endowment. You can even memorize the scripture. And though that is wonderful, that won't. So if memorizing the scripture won't do it, memorizing the message won't either. Should we not study? We should. But we should study knowing you still need Rhema. You still need the Holy Ghost to quicken what you memorized, or it just makes an intellectual face. Right. Notice this. He says you can even memorize the scripture. And though that is wonderful, that won't do it. It has to be a revelation from God. It says in the Word that no man can say that Jesus is the Christ except by the Holy Ghost. Yet there are millions that say Jesus is the Christ without the Holy Ghost. How are they saying it? Logos format. They'll hear it. Might they'll be preaching it in the morning. If thou believest that Jesus is the Christ, thou mayest be saved. And they'll say, I accept Jesus Christ as my Savior. I give the minister my hand. I want to put my name on the church book. My, you might as well shake a donkey's tail and put your name on a barn door. Do you about as much good? He said, I believe it. I believe it. The devil believes the same thing. But no man can really call Jesus the Christ without Rhema access. Why, he'll make him a historical something or make him something in the future. But the real Spirit of God says that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. You see, I don't want to preach just to Jesus of Calvary, just to Jesus of Galilee, or just to Jesus of Jeffersonville. I'm going to preach to Jesus of Johnson City. Y'all gonna be hurting if we just believe in Jesus of Galilee. Y'all gonna have to fly over and see if you can find him somewhere. Or you're gonna have to make a trip to Jeffersonville, see him, find him. But if I can preach to Jesus in your heart, then no matter where you are, how low you are, how sick you are, how weak you are, you can call on him in whom you have believed. And the word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth, the Rhema. Cause Rhema is spirit and life. Hallelujah. Notice, you have to receive the Holy Ghost, and then, and only then, can the Spirit give you the revelation that Jesus is the Christ. Friends, I wonder how many tens of thousands of people are sitting in message churches, and they're saying it. But if they don't have the Holy Ghost, they really don't, they can't say it, Brother Dan. They can say it from Logos. They can't say it from Rhema. They cannot say it. They're sitting there repeating the words. I accept Jesus Christ as my Savior. You know, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. And God loved us, so he sent Brother Barron. And I believe it. I believe every word. I believe every word. What does that mean exactly? Notice this. No man knows the things of God save the Spirit of God. And he to whom the Spirit of God reveals them. We need to call on God for revelation more than anything else in the world. Now, don't raise your hands, but I want to ask you, saints, do you call on God for revelation more than anything else? Brother Donnie, in this economy, I'm calling on God for my job and my finances. No, no, brother, you're wrong. Oh, but you don't know, I'm so sick and I'm calling on God for healing. No, my brother, you're wrong.
Come on now.
You need to call on God for revelation. It don't matter how bad the economy is, if you got a revelation, you'll be all right. No matter how many diseases are in your body, if God can reveal to you by His stripes, I am healed. All glory to God. Then that revelation will do more for you in a split second than memorizing all kinds of scriptures of Logos. Why? Because God makes it so real to you. It releases the divine energy that comes with that word. Can't you see His plan? When He allocated His word, He knew He would send it forth in the realm of Logos and in the realm of Rhema. He would make the Logos, the seed, what is written, the laws, the mandate, the oracles of God, but He would strip them of all power to reproduce theirself. So it's like seed. So you can hold it in your hand, quote it, memorize it, scientifically know all the ins and the outs of how it should work and why it should work, and I don't understand why it won't work. But knowing that without Rhema, the Spirit of God on that word, it never live. If so, theologians have been in the rapture before us. Because they know the Logos better than most of us will ever know it. Aren't you glad God can move on a little simple washwoman that don't know one Greek word? She don't know very good English, but all she knows is the Spirit of God takes that word, it quickens it to her life, it's changed her life, it's changed the way she lives, changed the way she talks, and she becomes a living expression of the very thought of God. And theologians sit there with the glasses down on the nose. Now, could this diphthong mean this? Or could this divisive such and such mean so and so and so? And this theoretically means this, and they sit there and debate and give their whole life. I don't mean fun of them. You imagine many of them have spent 50, 60, 70 years of their life trying to do all this, and they don't know God by one Rhema. Never had one Rhema to come their way. And you think you ain't special. You think you ain't something. When God has opened His very being of Rhema to you and dropped that word and made this real to you and that 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 real. And men sat and studied this Logos for years of their lives and don't understand hardly nothing about God. Oh, glory. We need to call on God for revelation. Notice Brother Bram doesn't say revelations, but revelation more than anything else in the world. Well, if this service don't do nothing for you, it'll at least change the way you pray. Now watch how he breaks this down now. We've accepted the Bible. We've accepted the great truths of it. But it is still not real to most people because the revelation by the Spirit, it's not there. Now this is Rhema, friends. Remember, Logos is the oracle, the mandate of God. Rhema is that same word spoke by a living voice, articulated by the literal voice of God. A word that is present tense for you where you are. Now watch this. So we learn the truths of the Bible, he says. But it's not real to most people because the revelation of the Spirit is not there. The Word has not been. You mean to believe it's not enough? To listen to it, to study it, to memorize it. You mean you could do that when you know, you realize that we have got a generation of message theologians. You leave out an and or they or far about. Don't tell me we don't. They'll send you an email and let you know you're there. They may not be able to make it live, but they do know the points to argue about it. That's what's important to a lot of them anyway. But notice this, the word has not been quickened. Now notice his proof of this. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:21 that we become the righteousness of God by our union with Jesus Christ. Did you get it? It says that we are the very righteousness of God Himself by being in Christ. It says that He, Jesus, became sin for us. It does not say He becomes sinful, but He became sin for us that by, oh Lord, by our union with
is Him. Think of it, children. We might become the righteousness of God. If we accept the fact, and we must, that He literally became sin for us by substitution for us, we must also accept the fact that we, by our union with Him, have become the very righteousness of God. Amen. To reject one is to reject the other. To accept one is to accept the other. Amen. Now we know the Bible says that it can't be denied. But this is the sad part. But the revelation of it. It's missing. This about makes me cry every time I read it. Listen to this. It is not real to the majority of God's children. Not serpent seed. Not foolish virgin. God's children. So God's children read that scripture in the Bible. And they read it and say, boy, that's a good scripture. That is so good. I wonder how Father looks at you when you read it and say, oh, I wish you'd let me make it real to you. We say, how can He do it? You've got to pray. You've got to ask God, make it real. Lord Jesus, the revelation of it is missing. It is not real to the majority. Now, please don't misunderstand me. I hope the church age book was finished and handed out in 1965. We know that. I hope by now this could be wrote a little different. That it wouldn't be said by the majority of God's people. That it would say there's still some that don't see it yet, but there's a lot more than there used to be. Oh, glory. What good does it do to see God send a prophet if we can't see ourselves in the Word? Listen, this is what it is. It is just a good verse in the Bible. Now, is it Logos? You believe that's the scripture? Is it the Word of God? Don't raise your hand. Is it real to most of you all, Happy Valley? You visitors that are with us as well? Is it real to most of us? What about us preachers? Is it real to us? Or is it just a good scripture in the Bible, a good verse? That's something. That is really something, boy. That's really a powerful verse. Or is it so real to you that you know by Him becoming you, you have become Him? Well, Brother Donnie, if I knew that, man, I'd live a life like the devil. I'd run around. Yeah, it shows you're not even born again yet. Brother, sister, if this ever strikes our heart, oh my goodness, to make one little mistake, to fall short of the glory of God, it kills a Christian's heart. A Christian ain't looking for a license to sin. They're not looking for a quote to let them walk as close to the world as they can get. No, a real born-again believer wants to get away from that world as far as he can get. He ain't looking for a wake and sin and live like the devil and be cold and all that. He wants to be so in love with Jesus Christ and live such a consecrated life before God. Oh man, he don't never want to do nothing wrong. We, listen to this, it is just a good verse in the Bible, but we need to have it made. So you mean you can know it, memorize it, and believe it, and it still be dead? Now, he didn't say alive, alive again, but alive. So a person can look at it in seed form and there it lays. What is it? It's the Logos. It is the Logos. And God separated dunamis from Logos. You say, why would He do such a thing? Why would He want to put His power and Logos together in one book and let the devil and fallen angels and unconverted people and everybody else, that all they have to do is get a hold of this Bible, they'd create another earth, they'd create a universe, they'd do all that, so He sent this down here that it would be the Word. Don't you understand? That's how come Jesus, the Word, could die. You cannot kill God, the life, Zoe, but Jesus, the Word, the Logos, could die on the cross. When you come to this earth, you had a little speck of that Logos inside of you. It lay there dormant for years of your life. But one day, hallelujah, the great eagle flew over the barnyard and breathed breath into that Logos, and you became Rhema. Oh, glory. You became alive. So verses can be a good verse in the Bible. You can believe it, know it's the truth, and it's still not alive. We need to have it made alive to us. That will take, listen to a tape. Do you understand? You can hear Brother Branham say this, and it still not be made alive to you. You can hear me say it, and it not be alive to you. Your wife can say it. Your neighbor can say it. But until it's alive in you, it lays there in Logos form. Now I'm going to show you a mystery. When Brother Branham was here, he was preaching the word of God, and many people heard it in Logos format. That's all they heard. The women, you know, they didn't like this. The men didn't like this. The denomination didn't like that. But there was some that was not hearing repeating of Logos. They were hearing Rhema. And the Spirit of God would quicken them whenever it's recorded on the tape. And people think they have the literal voice of God on tape. Sorry. People spin the tapes over and over and over and over and over again. And they think every word's Rhema word. Sorry. It's only Rhema word to those who live in a Rhema realm. Oh, glory. Just like me preaching tonight, you believe I'm preaching Rhema and Logos? All right, how are you going to know which one's which? To some of you, it'll be Rhema. It'll be alive. To others, I don't understand nothing he's saying. He jumped around sweating, spitting, carrying out. I don't understand nothing he's getting at. Logos, 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 Logos. It's going down in digital format. People all over the world will hear it. Will they all hear Rhema? They will not. Some will hear Logos. Some will hear something to debate about, argue about. But there'll be some. Maybe over in Norway. Maybe up in the regions of Canada. Maybe down in South Africa. And when they hear it, they'll put it on. They'll say, glory to God. I see it. And it'll translate to a life. So God sees you in a desperate need in your life, in a situation you don't know what to do. You've read the scripture, you've listened to tapes, you've read the message, you've went to church, you've prayed, you've done all this. You're looking for an answer from God. God takes a word, a logos. God couples it with dunamis, dynamite, power. And God will speak that Rhema word to you, either through a preacher or as you listen to a tape. And God will take that word. Now different, notice the difference as it comes to you. It's logos plus dunamis. Logos does not have dunamis on it. Power, authority. But when Rhema comes, it is the word and it is the power. Now here it comes, it's all mixed together. It drops down in your heart and it releases the power or the energy, energia. It releases that energy out of that promise. That's what separates Logos from Rhema. That Rhema comes with the power and Logos can make you mad on a hornet. I ain't coming back no more. I'll tell you one thing. What you hear? Logos, Logos, Logos. Somebody else sat there and they heard Rhema and said, glory to God, I'm free. I'm free. I'm free. I've been struggling with this or that or the other for ever so long. I've been struggling with this. Oh God, please help me. Please help me. And all of a sudden, now it's the same scripture maybe that they'd already been quoting. But with it come dunamis, sister. And when, oh glory, when dunamis locks up together with logos, what is it? Rhema. And is this for preachers only? Many of you may have heard of the testimony of Erica, my daughter. She's had warts for many, many years. She's tried different types of things. About burned her fingers up with all types of chemicals and strong mixtures of vinegar and I don't really know what all she's used. But a few weeks ago, whenever I was preaching on this, the Spirit of God dropped down in her heart. And she committed it to the Lord. She said she just forgot about it, actually. And then one day she looked down and she realized they were gone. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! I came back from the trip down in Tennessee and South Carolina, and we pulled up, and her mom was telling me about it, that she'd shared it with her. And I pulled up in her driveway, and she came out to the car and said, "Let me see your hands." First thing I did, say, "How you doing? You been all right?" I said, "Let me see your hands." She stuck her hands in the window of my car. I about had a spell. Looked like a baby's hands. No scars, no nothing left. Why? Because the word was Rhema. It was quickened. It was alive. You know what I'm talking about. You've had it to happen to you. And maybe you're sick and you're afflicted, and you quote the word. You quote it from Logos standpoint. By stripes I'm healed. By stripes I'm healed. By stripes I'm healed. But one day, Dunamis comes down and grabs a hold of that Logos, and you say it. By his stripes I am healed. It's finished. It's over. I'm delivered of this sugar. I'm delivered of this diabetes. I'm delivered of whatever it is. Why? It become Rhema. And Dunamis made your body obey it. Oh, glory to God. Amen. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit. But you can quote Logos and quote Logos, and shouldn't we do it? Sure. Sure. But I'm afraid, friends, our pride has got us, we're so proud of what we know, how well we can discuss it. We can cross our T's just right. We're so fancy and dotting our I's. Our commas, our semicolons, our whole apostrophe, it's all so appropriate and in such order. We don't need God. We don't need Remus. You understand? That's where a lot of the message folks are. They don't need Remus. They have Logos. If that's getting deep, I hope I never get deep. Well, glory. Can I go a bit farther? Notice this. It goes on to say, oh, how we need revelation by the Spirit. We don't need a new Bible. We don't need a new translation. Though some are very good, and I'm not against them. But we need the revelation of the Spirit. And thank God, we can have what we need, for God wants to reveal His Word to us. Notice, not by His prophet, not by His pastor, not by His teacher. Now God uses those means, we know that. But by His Spirit. Now watch Jesus as He goes on this moody sermon. Not D.L. either. They probably thought He's mad. Said, that preacher's mad. He's mad. Look at him. Jesus says, there are some of you that believe not. This is after the blood sermon and the eating the flesh and drinking the blood and all that. And then Jesus said, oh yeah, I want to tell y'all, some of y'all's fixing to leave. You're heading out of here. And I want to tell you the reason. It's not that you differ with me. And it's not that you think you're so right and I'm so wrong. You are not of God. That's the reason you're leaving. There's some of you that believe not, for Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not and who should betray it. And He said, therefore I said unto you that no man can come to me except it were given unto him of my Father. What happened to that whosoever will thing? Whosoever will don't include me. I'm not a whosoever will Christian. I'm a His will Christian. Oh, glory. I said, I'm a His will Christian. For before I ever had a choice, He made the choice. Amen. My. And He said, therefore I said unto you that no man can come unto me except it were given him of my Father. St. John 6:6:6. And from that time, many of His disciples went back and walked with Him no more. Of course, Jesus, being a modern day preacher, after half His crowd had walked away, tore all to pieces and trying to look for a compromising sermon. Yeah, right. Watch Him in verse 67. Then Jesus said unto the 12,
will you also go away?
Now hundreds has just walked away. And he looked at them and said, y'all got a problem with this? Hit the door. And y'all want to know where I get my mannerisms at. You honestly think Jesus was a modern preacher today? He'd come in and rub you folks around on the head and tell you how good you are. You think he'd baby around, dodge all these issues in the message? You think Jesus is that kind of person? You think Jesus would dodge all this trash going around the message and all this nonsense? You honestly believe that? But I'll tell you one thing. I've got a poor, poor thing about your idea of what Jesus is. If Jesus was sharing this day, he'd tear into this message. He'd tear into this idolatry. He'd rip it down from Jeffersonville to Johnson City to Cloverdale to Germany to all over the world. He'd go down through everything. He'd lay it right out. If it didn't, he needs to apologize to these guys. Whew. Then Jesus said to the 12, will you also go away? Then Simon Peter answered him, you know, maybe quivering and shaking, and because this is a rough sermon. Man, had hundreds standing there, there's only 12 left, and the altar call ain't even been made yet. Jesus ain't even closed. They're praying, closing prayer, hurry. Ain't gonna be nobody left. So now Jesus makes the last statement of the evening. You all want to leave. But I hope there's some here tonight that would say the same thing Peter said. Then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the remas of eternal life. You hear, this man didn't even have the Holy Ghost yet, but Brother David, he received an understanding that Jesus, they might not have been able to tie it all together, but he knew that Jesus, the words he was saying, it was more than Logos. Never a man spake like this man before. Lord, where can we go? That's the way I feel. You want to look for faults in the message? You want to look for this and that and the other? You want to go back to Pentecost? You want to go back to the Baptist? Go on, my brother. I burned all my bridges behind me. I was in Pentecost for years. I preached their message. I run up and down their pews, but I was empty then. I sure don't figure it's going to satisfy me now. Some of you was empty in a Baptist church. You was empty in a Methodist church. You figure they can fill you up now. I tell you no, my brother. This is the remas of eternal life, and it lays right in the message of the end time. Praise the Lord! Because remas are spirit, and they are life. Watch this in St. John 8:47. He that is of God heareth God's remas. Now remember, I'm not substituting these words. This is what the original language says. Jesus didn't say, he that is of God heareth Logos. Because devils can hear Logos. But only he that is of God can hear Remus. You understand, children? He that is of God heareth God's Remus. Ye therefore hear them not. Because ye are not. Say it. Of God. How could they have been of God? The new birth hadn't come yet. So men are only of God, as many people would have us to believe, after the new birth. And Jesus said something totally wrong here. Because he was telling these people that they were not of God, insinuating some were. His blood hadn't even been shed. The Holy Ghost had never come. But here Jesus was saying, some of you are of God and some of you are not. The new birth did not make the elect of God. They were already of God before the world ever began. Their names was written on that Lamb's Book of Life. They are of God. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Remember, friends, when you're witnessing to people or you're trying to settle debates and arguments and whatever more, keep this in your mind. Don't spin your wheels and waste weeks or months of your time trying to prove to people that may not even be of God. When you give them something, they argue that. You give them something, they argue that. You give them something, they argue that. If I was you, I think I'd pray about it before I give them much more. I found that out by experience. We are loving people. We want to help people. We want to enlighten them. But I found out myself, I've spent a lot of time. I've wasted a lot of time looking for quotes that are hard heads. You'll never change them anyway. You give them 5 or 5 pages or 500, you ain't going to change them at all. But if they're of God and they've got the ability to receive Rhema, they may look right and say, I don't understand it somehow, but I know it's the truth. I know it's exactly the truth. I can't tie it together. I can't make sense out of it. Me neither. Watch this in St. John 18, verse 37. Jesus before Pilate. Pilate therefore said unto him, Art thou a king then? Jesus answered, Thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born. And for this cause I came into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. Praise the Lord. Everyone that is of, notice, not receives, not becomes of the truth. One day they will, but everyone that is of the truth. Don't you understand, friend? We were only children of disobedience in the flesh to the darkness that hung over our soul. You was never from your soul a child of disobedience under the original fall. No, sir. In your body, yes. And your body still bears that image. But you were of the truth before there was ever a Bible. Amen. You were of the truth before God ever wrote it down while you was a thought in His mind. Belonging to God is the only basis of hearing Him. Now you can hear Logos, oh my, you can go through all of that, but that's not it, friends. Belonging to God is only that basis. Notice this in the Smyrna church age. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches of each age. In every age it was the same cry, hear what the Spirit says. If you are a Christian, you'll get back to what the Spirit is teaching. That is the Word of this age. Every messenger to every age will preach that word. Every fresh and true revival will be because men have gotten back to the Word for their age. Can't you see why there's going to be a move right in this last time before the rapturing time to pull you away from the real message of the hour, to change your focus, to point you this way and that way? Don't let it deter you at all. Keep your eyes on the prize. There'll be more than this that'll come. There'll be more that'll fall away. More preachers about this and that and the other. But you stay with what the Lord God has declared you to do. Do you understand how this church can have a real revival? It's not by trying to find some fancy preacher. It's not by me trying to get on television and trying to look up some television preachers. Maybe if I bring Smiley up from Houston. And he'd hand out some of his books to everybody. Boy, my face would get tired looking like that all the time. I don't need Benny Hinn here at our church. He's for the hens. Not us eagles. As I heard him say yesterday, talking about Brother Branham, how great he was, what a great ministry he had. But he said, there's only a few men in this generation that was able to get out in what he called the third dimension. I thought, buddy, you're way behind. There's way more than three. Every one of them that got out in the third dimension went insane. Alexander Dowie, he said, and William Branham. He said, I've got tapes of William Branham, videos. And he said, I watch him under the anointing. And he said, I sat there and tremble as I watched that great man of God. But he went off in the end, and he thought he was Elijah. So could that ever produce a bride revival? It'll produce a hand revival. Because you know what that is? You know what all that is, don't you? It's to put down all of these men so the hand can step on top. Now, of course, they're not saying that it wasn't there. They're not saying that it wasn't real. But all them men failed. What are they doing? They're building steps, you know. Start out John Alexander Dowie, William Branham, so-and-so. But then nobody ever did it. See, there it is. The spot is there. Somebody's got to fulfill that. Well, Brother Hen, why don't you just step on up there in the hen house? But in case you all didn't know it, this ain't a hen house. This is where eagles gather. Oh, there's a few chickens come in every now and then. But for the most part, eagles fly in here. Glory to God. Eagles come in here and feed on the unfailing body word of the Son of Man. We're not interested in hens. We're not interested in old rooster pasture. We're interested in flying out of this place. We want to take a rapture and fly out of this place. So can we still have revival around this message? Guarantee I'm in one now. How? By coming back to the true word of the hour. I ain't looking for no eighth-day messenger. I ain't looking for another prophet. I ain't looking for somebody else to bring it. The one who's brought it lives in me tonight. Come on now. Oh, sure, we can have visiting ministers come in and get us all stirred up and all that. But I'm glad when they leave, I'm still stirred up. Amen. I love for Brother Jewel and these different brothers to come in, but I'll tell you one thing, friend. I've got stirred down inside of me when Brother Jewel's in Timbuktu, when Brother Darrell's wherever more. I don't want my revival to be on their coattail. I want my revival to be between me and Jesus Christ. I'm so in love with Him and He's so in love with me that He speaks Logos and Rhema and Logos and Rhema to my heart, making love to me day in and day out. Listen. Hallelujah. So faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by Rhema, not Logos. Don't you see what rapturing faith will be? Brother Ben tells us that God just speaks and the rapture takes place. But it won't be Logos. Because Logos is seen. Logos is visible. Rhema is invisible. Oh, you say that's crazy, is it? You have seen a visible human being stand before you for the last hour. Hundreds and hundreds of words, invisible words I might say, have come out of my mouth. You believe that? Have any of you seen one word come out of my mouth? None of you. And yet you believe you've heard words out of my mouth? But what if we use your eyes and say, let's go by the realm of eyes and ask the eyes. Have you seen any words? No, no. Did you smell them? No, sir. Did you feel them? No. But you're still going to stand there and tell me that you heard words even though your eyes say they didn't see them. Your feelings say they didn't feel them. And your taste says it didn't taste it. And your touch didn't feel it. And you're going to take one sense in your human body and say, you've sat here tonight and heard the word of God? Well, when all them senses try to turn on you and tell you you're not saved, what you need to do is turn to that inner sense from the soul and say, you're lying to me. You're lying to me. Eyes, feelings, all that. You're lying to me. I am saved. I have been made the very righteousness of God in Him. Oh, but Brother Donnie, I don't feel saved. I don't feel saved either, but that ain't what I go by. I'm not saved because of feeling, Brother Kenneth. I'm saved because I have accepted Him as my atonement. And I am not just saved. I have become the very righteousness of the Almighty God. I know that's a mouthful, friends, and to most of us, that's still a good scripture, but I'll tell you what we need. We need to pray, God, make it real to me. God, make it real to me. You love Him. Let's pray together. Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, I pray You'd take these simple thoughts tonight, Lord.
Oh, Jesus, don't let it just be seed. Don't let it just be a repeating of Logos that they've heard year after year. It makes sense to me, Lord, why many people are getting discouraged and just quitting and going to the world or going here or there or there. They go to church service after service, or they sit home and listen to a tape, whatever it is they do, and all the word is to them is just Logos. It can be grievous. It can put a burden on them that they don't want to bear, and I really believe with all of my heart, many folks are just tired of sitting around this message and being something that they're really not. They're tired of acting like this and that and the other when they're really not that in their soul. They're just sick of it. So they want to go out in the world. And they want to, Lord, here we are. The lights of home are right in view. Why would they want to turn back now? The baton has been placed in our hands. We can see the finish line right in front of us. Lord God, I don't want to turn back now. What should I go back to, Lord? But I understand, Lord, I'm not just feeding on Logos either. I'm feeding on Remas. And those Remas release dunamis, energia. Oh my. When you spoke your word in the beginning, you spoke it in the form of Logos. Let there be light. Prophet said it could have been thousands of years or maybe millions of years before anything ever happened. But at the right time, the power of God was released upon that seed and light sprang forth. You were writing your first Bible when you put it up there in the stars. You dealt with the earth in the same manner of redemption that you would deal with us. You spoke your seeds and they went down beneath the waters because the earth was covered in water. She was a female. We know that from reading the Bible. The earth in the Bible is never called him, but her. We know the Bible is a book of the earth. The Bible does not mention Neptune, Jupiter, Mars, or any of those by name. But it calls the earth's name. Glory. So her name is found in the book of redemption. So this is why she can be redeemed. You was writing the story of my life in the way you was making her. So here she is covered with thousands of miles, maybe deep in water. And you spoke your words and they went out of your mouth. Plop, 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 plop. They landed in the water. They dropped for maybe miles or feet down, 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 down. And it lay there. And then you released energia, dunamis. Let there be light. Then it was no longer just Logos. But that Rhema word cometh power. And when it did, the mist started rolling away. Those seeds that were laying there in Logos form, once the Rhema word came and drove back the mist, those seeds started germinating and coming forth. That was me. That was these people. That was Abraham. That was Isaac. That was Jacob. It was unfolding the mystery of redemption and the way you made the earth. When you made her so she could fall. You made her so she could tilt on her axis 22 and a half degrees, 23 degrees, whatever it is, and still not warble, plumb out of space. You made her so she could fall. In her perfect state, she stood upright. And the temperature was the same all the way around. And as they just found out, Lord, this summer before last, and they drilled down miles and miles into the ice. And they'd never done it before in Antarctica. And they found palm leaves. And they found fern fronds and all that. And the archaeologists and the scientists were so overwhelmed, they could not believe it. Hallelujah. What was it? Her identity before she fell. Glory. If you are letting them find that, there must be a parallel to it. Oh, glory! There must be a people on the earth that's finding out who they were before they ever fell. Before the foundation of the world, the earth bears her true identity between miles and miles of pack ice. Oh, it's been there for thousands of years, but yet she still embraces who she is. Glory to God, so do we, Lord, down in our soul. We was not born to be sinners. We were not born.
be bound with habits of the world. We were born to be sons and daughters of God. To feed on your words. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Lord God, would you send a man of God with a Holy Ghost drill? Let him set over the pack house of our life. Let him drill down past all the hurts and all the denomination, all the creeds. Let him go past back what mama said, what grandpa said. Let him take that drill of the word and set over our spiritual Antarctica. Let him keep right on going, hammering, 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 hammering. It may take weeks, it may take months, it may take years. But Lord God, may he be a determined man of God that he's set up on the right place somehow. He knows he's at the right place. Then Lord, he'll hit it. Glory to God. He'll bring the remnant out. What was it? Her past. Her past. Her present. Her future. Glory. Glory to God, to the real bride. We don't look at our past as being drunks and liars and whoremongers. I want to go further back. I want to dig up my past. I want to go way past Adam and way past Lucifer and way past the fall. I want to go way back in the back part of God's mind. That's my past. And my present is the revealed word of this hour. And my future is looking brighter and brighter and brighter every day. Thank you, Lord. May you minister to your children tonight, Lord. May you bring strength and encouragement. Grant it, Lord. Oh, hallelujah. Praise the Lord God. Praise the Lord God. Lord Jesus, thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Imagine when the earth, we know what happened. Man with his atomic power, when he blew the earth out of her orbit, tilted her on her axis, those tropical plants that they found in Siberia, now in Antarctica. And there comes such a thing that when it tilted over in its axis on its pole, the prophet said, it caused the ice caps to freeze. Do you think it's just something a man is doing that the ice is getting smaller and smaller and smaller? You think that's just carbon dioxide. Do you just think that, can't you see what it is? She's having her birth pains. She's getting ready for the dawn of the millennium. Oh, they're worried and tore all to pieces. Aren't you glad we know the earth is where she's going? Aren't you glad we know she's not going to be annihilated? She's one of God's attributes. Like you are. Hallelujah. Sing something for us, Harry. Let's worship together, if you would, before we go. You appreciate his word. You appreciate his spirit. Rhema's our spirit and life. Let's just worship him a little before we go.
Amen. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see. I want to see.
Yes, Lord,
you
are. Oh, let's sing it to him.
Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see. I want to see.
Yes, Lord God.
To see you high and lifted up.
Yes, Lord God.
Shining in the light of your glory.
Lord, it's here.
Pour out your power and love as we sing holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. Oh, I want to see. I want to see you. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. With your word, open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord.
by revelation. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you.
Let us not accept part of this, but let's accept the other part. I want to see him, don't you? But I want to see me too. Not only do I want to see me, but he wants to see me. And when we come to this part, I want to see you. Can you break down tradition and say, I want to see me? You're never going to rapture from it. That's in who you are. I see Brother Branham. That's not what he said. He said when the bride sees who she is. You sit here, Brother Bramos, and never put you in the rapture. Sit here, your pastor, is your mama, daddy. All that's well and good. You've got to know who you are. Well, who am I? The very righteousness of God in Him. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes. Can you say it now? I want to see me, Lord. I want to see me through Rhema vision. See. I see you high and lifted up. You high and lifted up. Oh Lord, shining in the light of your glory. Oh Jesus, pour out your power and love as we sing holy, holy. Glory to God. Holy, holy, holy. I wanna see you, Lord. I wanna see you. I wanna see you.
Praise be to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Father, we thank you for your word tonight. We pray, Lord God, that you'd take it and make it real to us. Bless the visitors in our gates tonight, Lord. Pray that you'd be with us in the morning, Father, at the appointed time. Lord God, we pray for revelation tonight. Many have been scared by the term because people have used that term and went off the deep end on this or that. But Lord, help us that it'll not scare us. Scarecrows are for crows, not eagles. So help us, Lord, that we pray for revelation more than anything else in the world. Grant it, I pray, dear God. In Jesus' name. God bless you, saints. Go in the fear of God. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you.
Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. The eyes of my heart, I want to see. I want to see. To see you high and lifted up, shining the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love. As we sing holy, 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 I want to see. to see you. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. To see you high and lifted up, shining the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing hope.